Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue on our study of commentaries on the Quran. We are now in Quran chapter 18 to look at two more parables as Muhammad or those who helped him to write the Quran assume what they are writing is a parable. Once again, as we have seen so far in our study, that neither Muhammad nor his scholars know the real meaning for the word parable. Because once again, if it is not a story with a message in it, and the author of that story clarified to us what he is trying to teach his audience from that story, then it is not a parable. Just because the sentences have the word parable in it, it does not make it a parable. So to prove that, let's look together at that which is written in Quran chapter 18, beginning from verse 32. And give them the parable of two men. To one of them we made two gardens of grapevines and surrounded them with palm tree and placed plants between them. Each of the two gardens yielded its food, and not anything failed in it. And we caused a river to gush forth through them, and to him there was fruit. So he said to his companion, as he conversed with him, I have more money than you, and mightier followers. And he entered his garden, and he was unjust to himself. He said, I do not think that this will ever perish, and I do not think that the hour is coming. And even if I be taken back to my Lord, I will surely find a better place than this. His companion said to him, as he conversed with him, did you become an infidel by him who created you from dust, then from nutfah, then fashioned you as a man? But as for me, he is Allah, my Lord, and I will not partner anyone with my Lord. And were it not that if you entered your garden, said, what Allah wills, there is no might except by Allah, though you see that I have less money and children than you. So perhaps my Lord may give to me better than your garden, and will send on it his counting from the heaven, so that it will become a barren wasteland, or its water will become sinking so that you are unable to seek it. And he was surrounded with his fruit, so then he remained alternating his hands over what he had spent on it, and it was empty on its trellises. And he said, oh, I wish I had not partnered anyone with my Lord, and there was not a group to help him other than Allah, and he was not helped. Thereupon is protection from the true God, and he is best for reward and best for the final end. And give them a parable of the world life, like water which we send down from the heaven, so it mingled with the earth's plants, so it becomes dry stubble, the wind scatters it, and Allah was mighty over all things. As we read that passage, we discovered that Muhammad was talking about two parables. The first one, which is written beginning from verse 32 until verse 44. As for the second parable, which once again is not a parable, it is actually a repeated verse we talked about in the past concerning the water and the rain come from heaven, and somehow these plants which grow became dry stubble, and how all what was in it was scattered by the wind. And that is exactly what we talked about in Quran chapter 10 and verse 24. And I will not be sharing in our study today for that parable or that verse as we covered in the past. So let us concentrate our study on the first passage. Obviously, from reading these verses from verse 32 to verse 44, we know there was a story. The story is about a man who had two gardens. And I do not know why Allah mentioned two gardens, which was surrounded by palm trees, and there were plants between them, and the river gushed between them. Allah could have said simply, a rich man with a garden. What difference does it make if you have a huge garden of a 50-acre or 10 gardens of 5-acre of a total 50 acres? I do not know what was the purpose of Muhammad to make the riches of that rich man to have two gardens instead of just one big garden, especially that they have grapevines. So in any way or shape or form, the rich man who owned these two gardens was speaking to another person who just happened to be poor. From the conversation, I do not see that he was actually sinning against Allah by committing the sin of shirk, which Allah mentioned in the continuation of the conversation between that rich man and his neighbor, as he said, I wish I did not partner anyone with Allah, as stated in verse 42. Because in the real story, in the previous verses, I did not see that that rich man have partnered anyone with Allah. The one sin I found that rich man committed in that passage, that he did not give credit to Allah as the source of his blessings of these two gardens and all the fruit which Allah has brought to him through these two gardens. On the other hand, he was speaking lowly of his fellow man by bragging about all what he got comparing to his neighbor who is poor, who did not have as much. On the other hand, the neighbor was thankful to Allah, and he also gave to the rich man some advice. Some of the saying he mentioned were obvious error, as Muhammad repeated the same message throughout the Quran. I will be sharing about that error in a few moments. The rich man also did not believe that he will ever lose his gardens, he will never lose his riches. Add to that, he did not believe that there would be the day of judgment. And even if there was a time of judgment, he think that his Lord will bless him with even more than that which he has in his gardens. Now, in verse 37, we read the preaching of the poor man. For there we read, his companion said to him, as he conversed with him, did you become an infidel by him who created you? Have Muhammad stopped here, we can have a point. But the problem is the rest of the verse. That is when he said, from what Allah created him? He said, who created you from dust. Well, we know who was created from dust. It was Adam, the first man, not that man who had the two gardens. And then he said, then from Natfa. That is a big biological error in the Quran. Because once again, let me remind you that when Allah used the word Natfa in the Quran, he's talking about the fluid which comes from the backbone of a man, white, thick, Allah meant the sperm, and the soft, yellow fluid which comes from women's breasts or the bones of their chest. And that is a huge error. Man is not created from Natfa, two fluids, but baby were made from sperm, which come from the father, which have nothing to do with the backbone, and eggs from the mother, which also have nothing to do with her breast or the bones of her chest. This is a continuing repeated error in the Quran. Worse than that, he said, then fashioned you as a man. Well, the fashioning of a man was in the case of Adam, not in the case of the children of Adam. Why Muhammad inserted that statement here in this story, I have no idea. But as we have done, we just point that no such a thing that a man created from dust, except if Allah is talking about Adam, and the Natfa does not have any part of the stages of the embryology, as Muhammad, Allah, and Muslim scholars claim. Continue with the poor man who stated in verse 38 that he believed in Allah, his Lord, and he will not have any partner with him. In verse 39, the poor man told the rich man, you have to acknowledge Allah and his power in your blessing. He compared himself to the rich man to be a person with less riches and less children. the poor man was hoping in verse 40 that he would receive a blessing from his Allah better than that which the rich man have. In verse 42, we learn about somehow that rich man lost his two gardens. As he was alternating his hands, it is a sign used in the Middle East culture to show the frustration or the sorrowful heart for a loss of something important. And that is the end of the story.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
Now, let's ask the question. Was this a new revelation given by Allah to Muhammad? If we examine the teaching of the Bible once again, do we see the same message? Yes, indeed, absolutely. As we have always taught you throughout that study, commentaries on the Quran, Muhammad did not bring any new information, any new teachings in his Quran. He was simply copying and corrupting the teachings of the Bible. To prove that, let us look at where did Muhammad came up with his teaching in this story, or we can say, as Muslims claim, in this parable. You see, once again, as we covered in our last broadcast, Muhammad was copying from the parable which our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ mentioned in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. It's about the rich man who has land that produced a great harvest. Muhammad obviously did not use the word land with great harvest, but he used two gardens which bring its fruits of grape. And also he mentioned that these two gardens were surrounded by palm, which means they also produced date. And he also mentioned that between the two gardens there were plants. So it is similar to that which we read in Jesus' parable. Now, in the biblical account, that rich man did not honor God, did not give thanks to God for his blessing on him, but he just thought of himself, me, I, and myself, by planning to build bigger places to store his wealth, as he said to himself that he have many years to live without any needs. But obviously, the voice came from heaven. That is the voice of God telling him that tonight you will die. So all that which you collect, all the harvest which your land has produced for you, to whom it will be given. Similar to that, obviously, is the story of the Quran. Muhammad always copied stories from the Bible, changed some of the main points of it for the purpose of making up his poetry of the Quran. Any person with logic or common sense will figure out this is not just the story of our study for today, but that is the story of the entire Quran. The parable of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ in Luke 12, 16 to 21, it talks about the fall of placing trust in material wealth while rejecting God and spiritual matters. That is the same message we see in that story. Now, we can also see Muhammad was copying different portion of the Bible to fit with his teaching in that story. For example, in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, we read, "Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits." Notice the similarity between the passage in Quran chapter 18, beginning from verse 32, and that which we read in the book of James chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, is that both passages warn about the fleeting nature of wealth and the danger of relying on material riches. Both emphasize the spiritual peril of pride and overconfidence in one's wealth. So, did Muhammad come up with anything new in his Quranic verses? No, he was simply copying that which is written. First, in Jesus' parable in Luke about the rich man. Second, in the teaching of James in his letter, verses 9 to 11 in chapter 1. How about what we read in the book of Proverbs, chapter 11 and verse 28? "He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage." Once again, that is the main message of the teaching of Quran chapter 18, beginning from verse 32. Also, we can say without any doubt that the writer of the Quran was influenced by the story of Job as a rich man who lost everything. Obviously, it is a different lesson we learn from, because Job did not trust but in the Lord. But the idea, the material which a person can use to make up poetry, it is all over the Bible in different passages. And Muhammad copied his idea and he put it in that poetry of Quran chapter 18, beginning from verse 32. For both stories emphasize the temporary nature of material wealth and the importance of maintaining faith in God during times of both prosperity and loss. Well, let's move on to one final parable for our broadcast for today, and that is what is written in Quran chapter 22, verse 73. As Allah stated, "O you people, a parable is set for you, so listen to it. Surely those who you call on without Allah, they cannot create flies, even if they were gathered to it. And if the flies snatched something away, they cannot rescue it away from them. Weak is the seeker and the sought." Once again, we read a verse like that in the Quran, where Allah is speaking clearly through Muhammad to the people, telling them, "I am giving you a parable." And what is the parable about? The false gods they worship. As Allah stated, "If all these false gods got together trying to create a fly, they cannot. Not only they cannot create a fly, but even the fly is smarter and stronger than all of them. If that fly steals something from them, they cannot bring back whatever the fly steals." What a comedy verse. I do not see any parable there. I mean, so what? We know that all the gods, the idols, which the people of Christ used to worship, cannot create anything. Why Allah mentioned flies in plural form? He can say it. Why Allah did not say they cannot create one fly? And how can a fly steal? What fly will steal? How much food a fly can steal from the table? A small tiny crumbs? Can you imagine with me? If you're watching cartoon, maybe you can see flies stealing some object, but not in real life. What is the lesson Allah is trying to teach the people of Christ? You're worshiping gods that cannot do any good to you. Do we have any similar message like that in the Bible? Yes, it's not just about they cannot create a fly, but all these idols which people worship cannot do any good. And by the way, that is written throughout the Bible as well. For example, the Bible talks about these gods which have ears and they cannot hear. They have eyes and they cannot see. They have tongues and they cannot speak. If people pray to them, they cannot answer them. This is the true nature of these false gods. A good example of that, what we read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 44, verses 9 to 11. For there we read, those who make an image, all of them are useless, and their precious things shall not profit. They are their own witnesses. They neither see nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who would form a god or mold an image that profits him nothing? Yes, people create for themselves many gods, and they worship them, even though they know that these gods they worship cannot benefit them at all. They cannot hear them when they call on them, and they cannot create anything for them. They will not bring any goodness to them. This is the true obvious conclusion, with or without the verses of the Quran. But obviously, here we see that that theme and that message is not a new revelation given by Allah to Muhammad in the Quran, because it has been already written throughout the pages of the Bible, Old and New Testament. And once again, Quran chapter 22 and verse 73 does not give us a parable, a story from which we learn a lesson. If Allah has given to us a parable in the Quran, He should make it, as we read parables in the Bible, a story with a hidden message. And when it is clarified, we learn great lessons from it. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that You sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite You to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.